Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wellness Ultimatum Radio Show. My name is Omar Coverbatch. I'm your host. Today we have an awesome show. We have a special guest, Erica Collins. Erica Collins is an educator, an author, speaker, media host, plus size model, and former Miss Plus America. Erica just released her new book, Eric and Ruby's Health Juice Stand, the first of a healthy book series for kids focused on diversity and multiculturalism. It's about teamwork for kids inspiring healthier options and choices to fight childhood diseases. The book includes games, recipes, and contest information, and the book has received attention by the education community to launch pilot programs to teach kids about nutrition and healthier options. Erica has been a plus-size model for over 20 years, modeling for Macy's, Bloomingdale's, Liz Claiborne, and a host of other companies. I just want to take this time to welcome Erica to the show. Hi, Erica. How
Hi,
are you?
Hi, Omar. Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, no. Thank you for coming on the show. How's everything going? Where are you actually out of?
Based out of New York with most of the projects.
Oh, cool. Yeah, no, so we're in the same area. I saw the different zip code come up, so I figured that you were out in a different state. But, yeah, okay, so we're neighbors. I'm in New York as well.
Very good.
Okay, so listen, I always take the time in the beginning of the show to let the guests give an opportunity to tell us a little bit about their journey. So if you don't mind, just tell us a little about your journey and how you got to where you are today.
Which journey would you like to focus on?
very good question. Very good question, because I ran off a bio of you, and I just want to let the audience know that if I had told them your whole bio, you would have like 5 minutes to talk. So let's just try to keep it narrow, and we'll just go.
What's important is your show is about wellness. So I guess the most interesting journey that I've had in the last couple of years is I got involved with a company that was in the specialty food industry. So I really got to learn about healthier food and healthier options. And I was fortunate enough to be part of the group that ended up winning award, which led me to writing the book, Eric and Ruby's Healthy Juice Stand for Children. Prior to that, I was actually a plus-size model and Miss Plus America.
Yeah, no, those are very big accomplishments. So, like, what kind of specialty foods did they focus on?
Well, every year there's an event in New York City. The Specialty Food Association puts on, and it's basically foods from all around the world. It's a massive event, and it's all natural. There's usually some cooking going on with different recipes and healthier products.
Okay. And they also had, is it like a multicultural kind of cooking where you have different foods from different places, or is it basically just something that was sort of just based in the U.S. type food?
Well, the association is actually in New York City. The event usually takes place at the Jacob Javits Center. And you have Italy, Spain, Asian countries. It's pretty much all around the world. As far as cooking, it depends on, in particular, vendors. The vendors that come in are showcasing their products, either trying to get them to market or trying to get them into supermarkets.
Okay, gotcha. So that definitely had a profound influence on you writing the book. So how did you incorporate those ideas into your book?
Well, I guess I should tell a little bit more about this story. I was actually working with a product called Ginger, which is a healthy wellness elixir. And one of the things that struck me was, as I was learning about the different healthy products, is that growing up, didn't really know about as much about nutrition as I thought I did. You know, growing up, they just had the pyramid, you know, here are your food groups, get a little exercise in, and that was pretty much what I remember. And mm-hmm. I think that now there's so many technological tools to use and different things to teach kids about nutrition, but I didn't see a lot geared to minority kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so and when you wrote the book, how did you gear it towards that particular segment of the population?
Well, first of all, I'm African-American. The person who was involved was one of the first African-Americans from Philadelphia to produce and win in the product competition for Sophie. Mm-hmm. So in developing it, the actual book is not only for African-Americans, but it's also in English, it's in French, and it's also in Spanish.
Okay, great, great. So how do you feel that, like, teaching kids at a younger age about nutrition carries over into their adulthood?
I think it's pretty much like everything in education. It starts to become part of your everyday planning and part of your everyday activity. If you start off young enough, teaching kids the difference between calories, what's healthier, knowing what they're actually putting in their body. Most of the time, advertisers are targeting children with products, based on something that resonates with them, like a cute cartoon or music, and the kids are unaware of what's actually in the product. That's left up to their parents to figure out. But your parents mm-hmm. can't watch you 24/7. So maybe you're given the option of either soda or juice,
mm-hmm.
a healthier juice.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe with some of the things that kids learn, they would be able to choose a healthier option with more education.
Right, right. Can you give us an example of one of the examples in your book about how that they make that differentiation, like in the examples?
Well, Eric and Ruby kind of go on this venture to Washington, D.C., and they're taught about the different challenges with kids with different diseases, cancer, diabetes, and so on. And they're given a task to solve, and the task is to create something that's going to help kids with these diseases. So they come up with a healthy juice stand.
Mm-hmm. And when they're able to come up with different concoctions and all that to battle these different diseases, is there any ones that you have any research done and actually had a little bit of help in assisting? For instance, I know that diabetes is a leading cause of, let's just say, a big illness in today's society. And a lot of my guests who are doctors and stuff discuss that. Is there any, like, examples in your book or, like, what the kids display where talk about having, like, healthier options in order to prevent something like diabetes, for instance?
Well, we want to stay away from acting like we're doctors.
Mm-hmm.
For the children's book. It's really to educate children about healthier options. I think when I was actually creating the book a few years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. And the drink company that I was working with, the properties, the actual ingredients in ginger help lower blood pressure. So in thinking about that, that's what I started to think about as far as kids working with juice products.
Okay, okay. I want to jump back on the ginger product, if you don't mind. What is it in it that made it such a hit amongst all the people?
Yeah, but you probably have to ask all the people. I don't want to speak too much because that's not really my in particular company. But I think the unique product in ginger is, in my opinion, the cayenne. Because when you think of drinking a drink, you don't think of something with a spicy sensation to it. So I would say that that's probably the uniqueness of the actual drink. So in
that definitely would make it unique.
Book, I'm sorry?
No, I said that would definitely make it unique, having that kick of diet, for sure.
Yeah. I think with kids, they're probably not as into, I mean, there are some kids that are into spicy. But most of the kids that I've talked to or work with on trying to put together a healthy drink are more into sweet.
Yeah,
how sweet
true.
They can make the drink.
Yeah, no,
so
for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, fruit's actually a substitute for that.
Got it. Oh, interesting. Yeah, no, definitely. I did a little bit of background on it, so I was curious to see your opinion of it. But, you know, I definitely believe that what you're doing is absolutely correct, too. I mean, I think that the closer that you can get to a kid when they're young with teaching them, like, healthier options, it does absolutely take them to a different point. As they get older, they get a little bit used to it. And I think that, I'll see if you agree with this point, even just like changing their taste buds to maybe not have such sweet type of drinks at an early age helps along as they get older.
Definitely. And that's really the purpose of Eric and Ruby's Healthy Juice Stand Book. I know when I was growing up, I know this is a name nobody wants to really talk about anymore, but the old joke where the Cosby figure, the father figure, was giving out chocolate cake, it had the eggs, the milk, all the proper ingredients in it. Often, you know, I was probably a victim of that. I always thought I had to have, dessert with my breakfast. But a lot of times today, you have a lot of parents that just, they don't have the time because they're just trying to work to get to make the amends and everything in their lives. So it's important for the kids, I think more so today, to be educated in what they're actually putting in their mouth. And there's so many different things online, and they're always, you know, playing games and so on and so forth. There really isn't any reason for them not to have that information. One of the things that we're going to be developing with the book is going to be a video game supplement to it.
Oh, that's awesome. That is really, really good. Nothing gets kids' attention nowadays like video games, so that's for sure.
True, very true.
So can you tell me a little bit about, like, the education community and their pilots that, you know, you're trying to incorporate some of your material with?
Well, right now, I can't really speak on exactly because we're still kind of in negotiations and everything, but I do have interest from the education community on building a full-fledged curriculum. I'm sorry?
Oh, no, that's great. That'd be something else. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, this book would be one of probably four or five books and also supplements that would interest kids.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's great. It's good to hear that the schools are, or at least they're attempting to make some inroads with their health and wellness of their kids. That's always something that's great, because I remember growing up, I mean, our options in the cafeterias weren't really good by any stretch of the imagination. So anything that they could do to correct that probably will go a long way in, you know, in the future of our kids, for sure.
Yeah, I think you see there's like all these different campaigns with kids trying to give their suggestions. Which probably didn't work out too well with the healthy lunch programs. But I think that this actually allows the kids to create what they want to eat.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think kids naturally just go towards the bad food, or do you think it's something that has a bit of marketing involved, or it's just something that they're generally used to? What do you think about that?
I think it's what you learn. It's also your environment. I think it's also marketing and advertising that's been targeted to children. When we were growing up, you know, it was really about sugary products, things that were less healthy. And now you kind of have almost like a Sesame Street of healthy food like Mr. Broccoli and my friend Carrot. So I think the kids go to what resonates with them as children, and also what they see in their households or what's provided for them in their households. And I think the important part about making healthier meals is making them tasty and learning maybe what different types of spices or, you know, also in the case of a drink or something, what people try to make a shake or make some sort of drink, and sometimes it doesn't come out quite right. You know, if you want to put kale in it or you want to put some different types of vegetables in it, it actually might taste like grass to people. you know, some people want to drink wheatgrass. If you want to mix it with something, that really tastes like grass. So that's not something that most likely a child is going to be interested in unless it's made a certain way.
Yeah, the wheatgrass is definitely an acquired taste, that's for sure. And I could definitely see, you know, the kids are not going to be too well on it. But that, I guess that's where you can incorporate the natural fruits and vegetables that give it a little sweetness that is not as harmful as the syrups and everything else that are in fruit juices naturally. So that, I can definitely see that working for kids. Now, you are, I want to just touch a little bit about, you know, your plus size model career. Can you expand on that a little bit for us?
I started plus size modeling in college. I was actually discovered doing a college fashion show for a fundraiser. And I didn't even know plus size modeling existed. We had some choreographers. I went to school at GW, George Washington University in D.C., and we had some choreographers that had came down from New York. And I really thought it was actually the second year I was in the show. And they had everybody walk. And I thought they were actually going to throw me out because I had gained a little bit more than the freshman 15. It was more like the freshman 45. And they stopped everyone. They stopped everyone and said, you know, look at her. She's the only diva in here who knows how to walk. So that turned into me getting into learning about what actual plus size modeling was about. And as far as health, one of the things that I think is misinterpreted is as a plus size person, if you are in more activities like modeling, like pageantry, or sports, inevitably you're going to take care of your body because you're either presenting or you're preparing your body to compete.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, that's a great, interesting point that you brought up, because I think that the audience will definitely have a little bit of a follow-up with that no matter what. And it was something that popped into my head while I was doing a little bit of research about this. Like, today's society equates like skinny to healthy, and I would love for you to dispel that truth if you can, and I'll just give you a couple of minutes to just discuss that. Is it always necessarily the case that being skinnier is actually healthy?
Well, you know what I think is really interesting? The modeling market in France right now has outlawed models that are too thin, and they're actually charging a fee or a fine to producers or designers that use models that's too thin. They have to actually bring in a doctor's note stating that they are, if they're naturally thin, they're just naturally thin. So I think that the industry is starting to recognize that the images that they were putting out were in fact unhealthy. I mean, skinny people can get heart disease, they can have cancer, they can have diabetes. It doesn't necessarily depend on a person's size. A person's physique could just be a larger physique. African Americans, for the most part, just have bigger bones. I just did a speech where I was talking about when I was about 9 years old, I was 5'6". I was teasing people because I had a body like Beyonce when I was nine. So where do you go from there in your development?
Yeah.
So, So where do you go from here in your development? So and as we get older, we age and we get a little bit heavier, and we have to monitor our food and monitor our exercise. So I think that is definitely a myth that all thin people are 100% healthy. We also know that in the modeling industry, it's notorious for, unfortunately, drug use. So a lot of the things that you might be seeing are super artificial. It's also notorious for plastic surgery. It's also notorious for Photoshop. And I think all these images that are not real are not good or healthy for children.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. It's not healthy for kids who try to emulate this, because, again, like, leading up to an unnatural body type, which, like you said, a lot of them, especially like growing up, you know, in the same generation that we were, I mean, these ladies were just scary skinny, and there's just no humanly natural way to get to that point without, like you said, drug use or developing eating disorders or and doing things that are just really harmful for your body. So that's why I'm glad if you know mentioning that being healthy isn't necessarily being skinny. So, and then I think a lot of people can appreciate that. And now you do a lot of work with body imaging as well, and like empowering people to like embrace their bodies as well. Like, why do you think that's so important in today's society?
It's important because it keeps you on the healthy track. If you don't have confidence and, you know, look at yourself in a positive way, you're either going to get lazy, or you're going to have anxiety, or you're going to be depressed. And I think that's one of the beautiful things with the plus size industry, because it's really, they're really getting it this year. I mean, I've been in this industry for 20 some years, and they're really getting that it's about confidence. It's about feeling good about yourself. And once you do that, you will live a healthier lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, definitely. And I can only imagine, you know, the different things that you've seen over the course of time. Like, how empowering has it been to have people look up to you as someone who they can recognize as beautiful and everything like that, when they traditionally didn't think they might have been, because they were chasing another idea that was not really unique to them? But, you know, do you have any examples of that throughout your career of people who are, so, you know, very, very elated to relate to you?
It's interesting you're using the word empower. I'm trying to think of how I actually feel when people come up to me, because I'm just doing me.
Yeah, so it's which is great.
it's shocking, but it humbles me, and it makes me see what, you know, you never really know what your purpose is. And how I got into plus size modeling was actually a fluke, because I was focused on journalism. So I guess this was the path that God chose for a very long time to empower other women. Just the other day, I was in the store, and I guess it's just simply, like I said, it's about confidence and how you carry yourself. And a woman stopped me to compliment me on my outfit. And then I took a step back for a second, and I realized that the young lady was in her 20s. She just was like glaring at me in admiration. And I just started talking to her a little bit about plus size modeling and the fashion industry. And she just lit up. She just got so excited. And and then I was also, you know, she said she was getting ready to go to lunch, and I said, well, where are you going? And she actually said she was getting ready to go to, like, McDonald's. And I said, okay. I said, well, if you're going to go to McDonald's, I said, you might want to, you know, choose healthier options, like their salads or something, because if you're going to really pursue plus-size modeling, you have to have clear skin, you know, something as basic as that. And she kind of looked, and she's like, you know what, that's a really good point. So there's been...
That really is a good point, because, you know, I'm thinking, and I'm sure that she probably was thinking the same thing, it's all about, like, dieting has only to do with, like, your weight, and it doesn't. It has a million different effects, which I'm glad you brought up skin. So and hair and nails and everything as well. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but that just popped in my head as well.
No, that's fine. And that's the whole point of plus size modeling. Everything has to be on point when you walk out on that runway or you do that photo shoot. And that's what I think is the biggest misconception. I know there's like two campaigns out. One is from Lane Bryant, the I Am No Angel. And then American Women came back with, well, I'm no model. So there's actually like an anti-plus-size campaign because you have social media. And that's something new that didn't exist, 20 years ago, where they want to see their stretch marks. They want to see, things that are not perfect. Which again, to a person who's a plus size model, makes you really think, if we're really going to present these images to children, we need to show them what real people look like. Right now, you have a real Barbie out there. And one of the things, the Barbie's bigger. She has regular clothes. And she gets acne and she has stretch marks.
Yeah. Not just like everybody else.
Right. So all the way around they're presenting these images. But it's also, when I see anti campaigns, I have to try to open my mind to it, because of course, being a plus size model, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. We were fighting for the cause and you're taking it to a whole nother level. But again, it goes back to body confidence. And, getting back to the point of that, if you like what you see in the mirror and you focus on your spirit and your soul, you will eat healthier, you will exercise, and you will overall feel better.
Mm-hmm. So what are some practical tips to get people's self-esteem or, like, just their body image, like, on point where they accept themselves? Do you have anything that you can recommend or, like, some practical tips for us?
Well, the first time I had a person where I actually used to give classes called Empowering Your Curves. And I was surprised that a lot of women just gave up. They didn't even know how to apply makeup or skin regimens. So one of the first things I told the ladies was to go home and write like 10 positive things about themselves. And then make postie sticks about them and stick them on the mirror so that every time when they wake up in the morning, they see those posts of how beautiful they are as a person. And then we went through another phase of just showing them how to enhance their beauty. Everybody is beautiful in some sort of way. Some people might like more things about themselves than others, or they don't think something is attractive that might be to the masses, very attractive. So we taught confidence building on how to enhance either their clothes, their makeup, or hairstyles that best fit them.
Okay. So, yeah, that definitely would help. Anything else? Any other tips that you can give us?
I say from the healthier food standpoint, the biggest thing that I realized personally, because I don't really, the shocking thing which I learned when I went to college, because, in college, girls are going through a lot of different emotions and they're, basically growing into young women. I used to think when I was in high school that maybe I had some sort of eating disorder. Why was I so much bigger than everybody else? And when I got to college, I realized that I didn't have an eating disorder. I really just had bad eating habits. So sometimes you just have to evaluate how you're actually eating, what you're actually eating, and start to make a chart and a list and seek help. I think as plus size women, they're constantly looking for a magic wand, so to speak. And the dieting doesn't help your metabolism. You really just have to adopt a healthy way of eating and a healthy regimen or routine in your life for exercise. And that eventually will help you just be healthier all over.
Got it. Now, what did you notice when you sat down and really started thinking about what you were eating in that those college years, what was like the main thing that you feel now, looking back, that you did wrong?
You know, you're stressing for exams. W was a tough school, so you know it was pizza, fries, chocolate. Or it was one of the biggest problems I had was I don't eat three meals. I didn't eat three meals a day. I was one of those people that would eat just one meal a day. That's what I'm saying. I didn't really have, like, I wasn't so much of an overeater. I wasn't sneaking and eating things. I just had very, very poor eating habits. The second thing I would say is, which I know is taking quite some time, is you don't realize how dehydrated you are, that you should really be drinking more water. Everybody always tells you to drink more water, but I think it was a certain year where I actually got it. Like, it was really starting to make sense that the water is absorbing into your body. And, you know, just the scientific aspect of it. You know, I'm an English, social studies, you know, media type person. You know, some of my more scientific friends brought those points out that really resonated. And so I think that was it. And then the other part was just exercise.
Yeah. Well, I can definitely appreciate the water thing. I didn't get into water till late in life. I mean, it just never, growing up, it never appealed to me. It had no taste. It just wasn't what I wanted to drink, you know. So it took me a while for that to click in my head, too. But it's a very important component to any healthy regimen. And so you weren't exercising either at that stage.
In college, I didn't have an exercise routine, no. But when I started plus-size modeling for a certain choreographer, I noticed that the weight was starting to fall off. So simply rehearsing for shows became an exercise routine. But I
now,
never
does that
realized.
Your...
I mean, when I look at my childhood, aside from gym class and dance class, I don't think I ever had a major exercise routine or even took note of it as a child, which is another reason why it's so important to encourage these things at very young ages so that it just becomes a normal part of your day.
Right. Now, something just popped into my head while you were speaking as well. Like, you were saying, like, when you were preparing for these events that you actually lost weight, was that something that was detrimental to your standing? Like, I guess I'm basically trying to ask, is there a qualification to be a plus-size model that is less obvious than, I guess, the audience would imagine? Like you said, you were losing weight. Was that a problem or no?
Well, two things. When I first started in the 90s, each year or each season, the acceptable size changed. So you had a lot of plus-size models yo-yo dieting, depending on either, I guess it was the designer or the general public. So if you start, and understand, plus-size started at size 10, which is very small for most women. They considered size 10 a plus-size. So a person could be a size 12, and then the next season they wanted a size 18, which is, you know, several inches larger. So in order for them to sustain the weight, they would go back and forth. Now, what I noticed, because I did a lot of runway work, is that when I was preparing for the runway work, you just were automatically dropping weight. Where it became a problem is for more of the high-end designers, where the clothes were cut and fitted to the person. I was fortunate. I never lost a job. But there were models that lost a job because they weren't in the right weight category for the season. And understand, you know, fall, they could have wanted a size 20, and then by summer they might want 10, and then by the next fall they might want something else. You're only talking about a couple of months to change your diet and your routine to be the size it is. What I used to suggest to ladies, because they used to complain about it when I was younger, is just stay the size you are and wait till it comes back around. But, you know, of course, that's your full-time profession, then you're going to try to keep up with the trend.
Oh, that's tough. I mean, that could create a host of other, you know, issues that, like the really, really, really skinny models probably had to deal with, you know, in the same kind of idea, you know what I mean? Like, didn't that cause, like, a whole lot of different issues for these people?
For thin models?
No, like, it's,
you know, I'm not
going to, like, I mean, it just seems like you're going up and down in weight, and it's, like, I'm thinking even, like, of the boxers who have to make a weight class. They'll just, like, starve themselves to do something crazy, not drink water for days just to get to that perfect weight. And then, you know, it just seems like a lot of yo-yo going on.
Yeah, it can be an unhealthy routine if you're trying to, you know, be in everything. Now you have to manage as a model yourself. You know, the biggest thing I preach now is being the CEO of your own life, which is a lot different when I started in the 90s, because now you have technology and you have social media and you have more options in general. So you don't have to take, there's some people that think they have to be everywhere. They have to have their face in the place. And you don't have to do that. One, you'll wear yourself out. And two, you have to really pick and choose what you want to be involved in. And think about what your brand is and stick to that. That will make you most successful. So if you're on the smaller end of plus size, stay that way. If you're on the, you know, as long as you're healthy, if you're on the larger end of plus size, you know, stay where you are, because I think that's more wear and tear on the body if you're going to consistently be in the industry. I think people's weight might fluctuate just in general, you know, 5 pounds or so, but that's not going to make as much of a difference when it comes to clothes. But again, yes, I would say definitely back in the 90s that created a really unhealthy routine. Now, as far as thin models are concerned, I don't want to be a spokesperson for thin models, but what I was always told is that the high fashion shows that you see, the reason why they wanted models to be so thin wasn't necessarily because of aesthetics. It was because the material was so expensive to make the clothes. That they a lot of times a thin model will go onto a runway and the clothes aren't even done, they're pinned up.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I was told, which really gave me a perspective on beauty and modeling. And I think the most important thing is to understand, you know, people get caught up in the glamour, whether it be thin or plus size modeling, but you're really in sales and marketing.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah,
you're
absolutely
selling and marketing a product. And whoever the business is, a small business, whether it's a big designer or a small business or a designer, a smaller designer, that's what you're doing. You're selling and marketing their product. So to get caught up in, you know, am I glamorous enough or, you know, am I perfect enough for it is really ridiculous. When you look at it that way, you have to be happy with the way you are.
Very true. Very true. I'm glad you circled it back around to the body image part too, and be appreciative of who you are. Let me ask you a question. As you became a plus size model, and I think this is something that I think a lot of people will probably appreciate as well. Like, did you notice that we use the word the masses a lot, that the masses actually do like plus sizes just as much, or who knows, even more than you would have imagined otherwise? Did you get more attention from the opposite sex knowing, you know, at that stage, or like that you didn't realize before? I'm not sure if I'm making that 100% clear, but
Yeah, I understand the question. There's a couple of different phases to give you. It's hard for me because, like I said, I was 5'6" when I was 9, so I've been getting attention since I was a child. that's why attention doesn't really faze me that much. And it's funny, you know, I was just out with a friend the other day, and people were kind of oddling, and you know, you get so, not to be you know, pompous about it or anything, but you do get so used to it, it just becomes part of the territory. I don't even know what it is. I don't necessarily think it's because of a person's physique. I think it's the energy that they give off. So if you're giving off confidence, that's coming back to you. I will say that when I went to speak to some young girls in the New York Mission Society, I had a little girl come up to me, and she was a plus-size young female, and she was receiving a lot of attention at a very young age, and she basically was asking me how to handle it. So I think when you're talking about different age groups, you definitely have to provide skills. I was fortunate that for whatever reason, I was pretty mature. But a lot of kids don't necessarily know how to react to the attention that they're giving, or it gives them more self-conscious issues. So you really have to empower those young girls who are receiving that kind of attention. I think as I got older in the industry, it was interesting because I did a Bloomingdale's show, and I remember people clapping with just one hand. And then I would go to a show that was more ethnic-based, like an African-American show or a Latin show, and people were hooping and hollering when the plus-size models would come out. So I had that balance. definitely.
Yeah, okay.
And I think now you're seeing the universal acceptance in mainstream.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's why I wanted you to at least mention that, because I think that helps other people get comfortable in their bodies. Like, no matter, it's really about the confidence. It's about accepting who you are, and you can go out there and you're beautiful just the way that you are. And there isn't necessarily a standard that you necessarily have to abide by, which is really, really cool. I'm glad you brought that up. I think my last question that I wanted... I'm sorry?
No, you're absolutely right.
Yes, Bill. Thank you. Thank you. I think I'm going to leave the interview, you know, at this point with the last question. And I want to know if you feel that you are the healthiest you've been in your life now and why.
I would say that I am the healthiest I've ever been in my life when it comes to changing my eating habits. I got rid of red meat. I think it's been over 10, 12 years now.
Wow.
I've increased the water intake. And I've definitely, I was just talking to my mother the other day, and I said, when I go to the grocery store, I seem to walk by all packaged food. I'm going straight to the fresh stuff. So I would say, as far as food intake, I've drastically changed my diet, more for health reasons than anything else. I would say that where I probably need more improvement, whereas we get older and we're constantly on the computer, and time is just getting that exercise time in.
Excellent. Well, I wish you well on your wellness journey. I want to give you an opportunity also to just let the audience know where they can find out more information about you, email addresses, Facebook, Twitter accounts, anything you want to share. Where do you get the book and all that information, if you can do that for us?
Sure. The book is called Eric and Ruby's Healthy Juice Stand. You can get it at BarnesandNoblesBN.com or Amazon and Kindle. You can also... use Twitter at twitter.com/EricRubyHealthy. You can also find me on Twitter at Erica Collins. And that's it.
Awesome. Well, Erica, I just want to, again, thank you so much for being on the show. It was great information, and I learned a lot today, and I really appreciate you for that.
Great. It was very nice talking to you too, Omar.
All right. You have a good night.
Bye-bye.
That was Erica Collins. She was an awesome guest. I'll tell you, I learned a whole lot about a lot of stuff today. Plus size model, body imaging. It's a really amazing thing that we have individuals that we can look at nowadays to show us that there isn't really one cookie-cutter way to do things nowadays. So we just have to embrace that, learn from each person's experience, and be able to continuously grow and learn as individuals. Next week, our guest is Dr. Gregory Canillas. His show is going to be really good, too. We're going to be discussing dating and how to know immediately whether a relationship will last. This is going to be a must-listen to everybody. I'm telling you, it's going to be a lot of interesting things. I'm going to be posting some things on Facebook as well to see if anyone has any questions that you want to run by the doctor. It's going to be a hot topic now because it's warm weather. It's dating season, at least in New York. So thank you, everyone. Appreciate you listening. This is the Wellness Ultimatum Radio. I'm your host, Omar Cumberbatch, and I just want to thank you again for sharing another Tuesday night with me and wishing you all a great night. Good night.